Hello and welcome to Kaput Radio. My name is Martin. This show may surprise or even shock. I will not take any position myself in this very controversial topic of climate change, but I'd like to present another side of it, one that is largely missed or even suppressed in the mainstream media. There is, obviously, a reason for this, and yes, you guessed right, it may be profitable to present the contemporary viewpoint as a scenario of global warming. There are certainly vested interests at play, making an honest debate seemingly impossible. So don't be put off by listening to another view that implies a cooling scenario. What's your thoughts about climate change?
I think climate change should be taken more seriously. I think that even if it is a natural process, I still believe that human beings need to be prepared for it. I think we need to stop burying our heads in the sand, accept the fact that there is something going on with our climate, our weather is changing, and we need to adjust. It's time to grow up and make some changes.
I think it's being ignored way too much. I don't watch normal TV or regular TV and stuff like that because I'd rather go online where there's a community of people who are actually there to witness certain things, so that way you know that it's not something that's been changed. If you want actual proper reports, you're going to have to go through people who like academic journals and things like that, where they've had to do the work and get peer review and then read what the journals are saying and stuff for the actual information rather than...
And you think they're honest? They're not paid off by vested interests?
It depends. Like, if there's a large company that wants their product being sold but they want to undermine the damage it's doing, you just employ somebody who would lie for them. So it's very difficult.
Yeah. Again, about like the next a few centuries, we could end up like the Earth could like just implode on itself. We could like stop breathing. Like CO2 would just cloud around our Earth, and we would never get sun. We'd probably die of like the cold.
That's terrible.
Only the animals that have like only like the people who like really want to fight to survive this change would live to at least see another century of change, but I don't even think they would like to do that. They'd probably like commit suicide before that even happened.
Yeah, I think everyone knows about climate change, but they don't know what to do about it, and they deny it. It's one way out. That's what I think.
My view on climate change, I think it's too late to do anything about it. I think we've let it run far too long. There's been no political will, and I still don't think there isn't any political will in Australia to do anything about it, although America and China have now combined to tackle climate change, I believe, but my belief is we've left it too late, and the ice caps are melting a lot faster than was predicted, and sea levels are rising. The storm we had a few days back, I think, just points to climate change. That was a violent storm coming out of nowhere after heat that was so intense that this time of year it was unbelievable. And I believe it was all connected with climate change. So that's my opinion today.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
I'm speaking here with Graham, who has been involved in my radio programs in the past before, who is usually involved with things to do with finance system, with our finance system being in place in 1694. And through this perspective, I was interested to hear your opinion, Graham, about climate change, which seems to be all over the mainstream media, a major issue of contention and accusations and affirmations and demands and so forth. And it's been very politicized lately. What are your thoughts about this topic?
Obviously, we must take notice of the true science, and I don't think that comes from consensus among scientists. I think it comes from using proper modelling, that the type of modelling can produce a different prediction using the same raw data. You have to go back to the start, I think, and if you want to have an informed opinion, you have to go back to the start of the basis, and the basis would be, where did they start to measure global warming, for instance? Did they start in very hot places? Did they start without doing any comparison with depths of the ocean and so on? Where did they do it? In the heat reflection in a city, near a city, in the tropics? Yes, certainly you can get data that will show that it's warmer in those places. But what about other places for comparison? Mm. So, you know, I have these doubts about the popular concept of global warming, and if there actually is some global warming, then from what I've discovered over the years, it would actually bring about a melting, rather, of the Arctic region, the Arctic Ocean, and that, of course, is the beginning of an ice age, because then snow can be produced rather than just ice, which can't go anywhere, but snow can. And I think listening to some of the reports, the news reports, actually on the scene in the Northern Hemisphere, there seems to be more snow than ever. And to me, that is due to, if there is any warming, it'd be to that slight warming enough of the Arctic Ocean to produce snow, which can travel, and which it does.
And this has an overall effect of rather triggering a cooling, as it happened in medieval days, in the Little Ice Age, quoted many times.
Well, yeah, that's how it has been seen in the past, that this actually triggers a cooling or a mini ice age. And that is being experienced. You can't deny some of the news reports in the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, here in Australia, we hardly hear about this on the news. Here is always the theme is always global warming. It gets hotter, the greenhouse gases are rising, and therefore it gets warmer. But that relationship has been actually not verified, or rather debunked.
It's been debunked, and so they switch from that phrase to another one. I think it's called climate change.
Right, because it doesn't and specify.
Which is meaningless, yeah. Because hasn't climate always changed?
Yeah.
Historically, it's changed slowly. Historically, it's changed fast. It's changed in many ways in the past, but it's always changed. And we're in the midst of a rather fast global climate change.
Well, doesn't that make it more apparent that the whole debate has been totally politicized and is driven by completely different interests than science?
What
we hear in the media becomes ever more suspect. You know?
Well, from the past, must realize my take on the causes of what we hear in the media, the reason why we hear such things in the media. What we hear in the media has to do with the economy always, and the economy has always to do with profit. And somehow, somewhere along the line, somebody is profiting out of the global warming fear, or trying to profit. But there are lots of scientists who gainsay the concept of global warming not actually occurring, but rather flat. Or if there has been any warming, it's been so slight it's minuscule.
And it is not in relation to the increase of carbon dioxide, more or
nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So it would be easy enough, I suppose, to work out exactly who's profiting, but the point is, somebody is profiting. It's profit that's behind it, the need to make profit.
Which then follows that there can't be really an informed debate anymore if all sides have vested interests behind as a motive. You know?
Well, not among the conventional or the majority of the population. There are a few people who can debate, but they're not debating different models of climate change or anything like that. They're debating something else, which would be the cause. It really There's so much.
The cause being a financial.
Well, there's look
imperative.
Everything. Yeah, every fear that's forced upon the general public has to do somewhere along the line with the economy. The economy must prosper at the expense of anything and anybody.
It also conveniently seems to keep out the debate about what is being done wrong to the earth, the living earth, I mean, the pollution with toxic chemicals, the over-exploitation of the marine resource and so forth. They're completely out of the debate now.
I suppose it's possible that if we're left to our own devices and not conditioned by media tactics, media fear and so forth, we may suddenly realize that there's something wrong and debate the cause rather than the symptom. Yes, well, I mean, there's nothing much more you can say about the whole thing because, to me, is an artificiality, the whole so-called debate. What are they debating? Why debate symptoms? Is my symptom better than your symptom? Well, you know, here, have a look at my operation. My operation's bigger than yours. No, I don't. I'm only joking. So, I can't really go down that track of being involved in fear tactics. Mm. If our global level of comprehension is such that it's incapable of understanding the situation that they're in and why we have the situation, then, we deserve what we get.
Well, you heard the vox pop. Some of it is almost like a religious conviction without questioning.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, where else can you go if you're not looking at a cause?
Mm.
If you're told that you have your religion and you're taught the ins and outs of your religion, where else can you go but debate the different little aspects within that religion? But the fact is, you still come from that basis of a belief in a God of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much for your comment and opinion. I hope it will help our listeners to rethink the whole thing, you know. Thank you.
Remember the ClimateGate emails that Phil Jones and Phil Jones' trick of beginning with a proxy temperature record and then substituting this with instrumental records when the proxy temperature record started to show decline? What I'm planning to show you this afternoon is how climate scientists at the Australian Bureau of Meteorology outsource the development of warming trends not to Phil Jones but to computer algorithms. And until this trick is more widely understood, it's actually going to be difficult for any Australian government to move beyond anthropogenic global warming as a theory that dominates discussions about climate science. So I'm going to talk about one aspect of anthropogenic global warming that Australian politicians like George have to deal with, the temperature record. At the very beginning of this year, David Jones, the manager of climate monitoring and predictions at the Australian Bureau of Meteorology, put out a media release explaining that last year, 2013, was the hottest year on record. And he followed up with radio interviews in which he said, and I quote, "We know every place across Australia is getting hotter, and very similarly, almost every place on this planet. So you know, we know it's getting hotter, and we know it will continue to get hotter. It's a reality and something we will be living with for the rest of this century." Clearly, Dr. Jones, who advises the government, doesn't take much notice of the satellite data that suggests there's been a 17-year-long pause in global warming. Indeed, he's more interested in the instrumental temperature record, but not so much with the observational data, more the homogenised data developed with algorithms. For example, in Australia, many records from stations where temperatures were recorded at post office were then moved to airports, and it may be necessary to apply some level of homogenisation to the data if you want a continuous record for that general area. But at a place called Amberley in Queensland, the temperature record has been recorded continuously since 1941 at a well-maintained site, and there's no need for any homogenisation. I'm using Amberley as a case study to to illustrate the homogenisation trick that can change temperatures so that last year is always cooler than next year. Now, Amberley is Australia's largest Air Force base, located near the city of Brisbane and about halfway down Australia's east coast. The unhomogenised mean annual maximum temperature for Amberley, and it's up on the screen there, since recordings were first made in 1941, shows temperatures trending up from a low of about 25.5 degrees Celsius in 1950 to a peak of almost 28.5 in 2002. That's the maximum temperature. But the minimum temperature for Amberley shows cooling from about 1970. Of course, this cooling does not accord with anthropogenic global warming theory. So the Bureau of Meteorology has changed the minimum temperature data by jumping up the minimum temperatures twice through an homogenization process, once around 1980 and then around 1996, to achieve a combined temperature increase of over 1.5 degrees Celsius. This is a very large step change, remembering that the entire temperature increase associated with global warming over the 20th century is considered to be in the order of 0.8 degrees Celsius. Through the homogenization process, the Bureau has changed what was a cooling trend in the minimum temperature of around 1 degree per century into a warming trend of 2.5 degrees Celsius per century. NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies also supplies a jump up to the Amberley series because it's incorporated into their series, which then informs the IPCC. And they've made other changes, so the annual average temperature for Amberley increases for the series that's then incorporated into the IPCC temperature record by about 2 degrees. Gavin Schmidt provided me with a list of 310 localities used by climate scientists at Berkeley who have also homogenised the Amberley data and found a discontinuity in 1980. But these 310 nearby stations, in inverted commas, they stretch to a radius of 605 miles and include Hamilton Island across the Coral Sea, and they go in the opposite direction over the Great Dividing Range. Indeed, perhaps the cooling at Amberley is real. Why not consider this in the absence of physical evidence to the contrary? In the Twitter conversation with Dr. Schmidt, I suggested it was nonsense to use temperature data from radically different climatic zones to change the observational data for Amberley. Dr. Schmidt replied, and I quote, "Your question is ill-posed. No one changed the trend directly. Instead, procedures corrected for a detected jump around 1980. Procedures corrected. Dr. Schmidt's referring, of course, to the mathematical algorithms that reach out to nearby locations that are across the Coral Sea and beyond the Great Dividing Range to change what was a mild cooling trend to dramatic warming for an otherwise perfectly politically incorrect temperature series. Until something is done about this issue of data homogenization, we are stuck with a paradigm full of clever tricks. Thank you.
Of global warming, but it's been going on for about 200 years. Also, there have been several periods like the last 10 years when the warming has ceased. In fact, there's been a little bit of cooling over the past 10 years. There have even been periods of substantial cooling, for example, from 1940 to 1970. You could see that on Dr. Pachauri's chart. Atmospheric concentrations of carbon dioxide have increased from about 280 to 380 parts per million over the past 100 years. The combustion of fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas has contributed to this increase in the atmosphere. Finally, increasing concentrations of CO2 in the atmosphere will cause some warming of the Earth's surface. Drastic limitations on CO2 are likely to damage our country in an analogous way. There's tremendous opportunity for corruption there. There's little argument in the scientific community that the direct effect of doubling CO2 concentrations will be a small increase in the Earth's temperature on the order of 1 degree centigrade. That's not enough to worry about. Further increases will cause even less. To get the scary scenarios that we hear about, water vapor and clouds must amplify the direct effects of CO2. In fact, fact, observation suggests that water vapor and clouds actually diminish the already small global warming expected from CO2, not amplify it. The evidence comes from satellite measurements of infrared radiation escaping from the Earth into outer space, from measurements of the sunlight reflected from clouds, and from measurements of the temperature of the Earth's surface. I keep hearing about the pollutant CO2, or about poisoning the atmosphere with CO2. CO2 is not a pollutant. It's not a poison, and we should not corrupt the English language by depriving pollutant and poison of their original meaning.
But while they'll be looking to put new restrictions on greenhouse emissions, not everyone in the scientific community is in agreement. RT spoke to one Russian scientist who says, far from heating up, the Earth is actually heading for a new ice age.
The temperature is not in any way affected by the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. In fact, the Earth is now moving towards a new ice age. The temperature is not falling sharply, just 0.3 degrees in 1,000 years. But that's just the beginning. It's a general trend with some highs and lows. There was a time when there were green fields in Greenland and when the Moskvar River was covered with ice in August. What we see now is a high due to increased solar activity, but still the general trend is that the temperature is falling.
And a British climate scientist has admitted that emails retrieved from his inbox, which question many accepted truths on global warming, were actually genuine. The documents appear to show that scientists were holding back or even ignoring certain data. One even suggested using a trick to hide a trend of falling temperatures.
Northeast of America is bracing for a snowstorm of epic proportions. An emergency has been declared as hurricane-force winds and heavy snows expected to batter the coast. Around 50 million people are expected to wake up to 90 centimeters of snow.
Slamming the coast at this hour, states of emergency. New England buried, nearly 3 feet of snow in some parts.
Also, the east coast of the U.S. is set to be hit by bad weather.
The roadway conditions are really deteriorating rapidly, especially on Long Island, where all you're doing is driving on snow right now.
My message to all New Yorkers is prepare for something worse than we have seen before. It is so important to focus on safety in these next few days.
Now, the transit situation is going to change radically. New Jersey.
We really want people to stay off the road tonight and tomorrow. Get home as quickly as one can, and the sooner you do that, the better.
I'm ready. Bring it on. I enjoy it. It is New England. It is winter.
From Philadelphia to the Canadian border, the east coast of America is expecting record-breaking
about,
amounts of
almost
snow.
Almost 150 years of weather records, there's never been a storm like this.
How much snow and storm does that equate to?
We're looking right now at the latest weather models, and it's looking like 20 to 30 inches of snow. So a good fraction of a meter of snow all happening in about 24 to 30 hours. And it's a total of about 28 million people that are
flooded
right now under.
And coast to coast now, the travel nightmare. More than 8,000 flights canceled. Tonight, millions still under blizzard warnings, a state of emergency in 7 states. Along the Massachusetts coastline tonight, the storm still hitting, blinding snow, flooding in Winthrop, Massachusetts. Cars frozen in ice. One man salvaging what he can with power out along the coast to tens of thousands tonight. There is word tonight of a nuclear plant
across
in
the
Massachusetts
Northeast
shut down.
A massive operation. In New York alone, 2,000 snowplows are ready to hit the streets. They can clear 6,000 miles of road. It's going to be a storm of immense scale.
The blizzard brings with it very high winds, gusts up to 55 miles per hour, and that's what makes the situation dangerous and difficult from our point of view.
Watch out where the Huskies go, don't you eat that yellow snow. Watch out where the Huskies go, don't you eat that yellow snow.
What about global warming then? The answer is simple. It isn't happening. It is not possible. It would be wonderful if we could do it. It would be our salvation if we could shut down the ice age cycles. Ultimately, man-made global warming is not possible at the present stage. The global warming hoopla is nothing more than a political dogma. The dogma states that there is too much carbon dioxide, called CO2, in the air, and that CO2 is a powerful greenhouse gas, so that too much of the sun's radiated heat becomes trapped on the Earth, by which the Earth overheats. The reality is in the opposite. While it is true that the atmosphere around our planet has a greenhouse-type effect that retains the solar heat, without which the Earth would be a giant snowball, It is not true that CO2 is a major factor for this effect, nor is it true that the man-made contribution to the global CO2 pool is large enough to make a difference. Contrary to political statements, up to 97% of the global greenhouse effect is caused by water vapor, and only 3% by CO2, and of that minuscule amount, the man-made portion is a mere 1-2%, 3% at most, too little to be of any practical significance for our climate, since 97% of the greenhouse effect comes from water vapor. The enormous CO2 concentration didn't prevent the most devastating ice age that ever occurred in the history of life on our planet, which coincides with the second largest extinction of life in the oceans, the only place where life existed at the time. The enormous CO2 concentration had no effect on the climate then or in the periods following. Neither has it today. The historic CO2 trends do, however, have an enormous significance for us as we approach another deep glaciation period. Since CO2 has been pushed onto the center stage of the political arena, the Polish professor, Jarosz, became engaged in trying to get a sense of reality back into the CO2 scene. In a 2007 article, he called the present CO2 scene, quote, "the greatest scientific scandal of our time," end quote. It is possible to understand the dynamics involved that cause the ice age cycles. With this understanding, it is possible to look for precursors.
Small wonder then that supermarkets have seen long lines and hardware stores are selling out of salt and shovels. People are also preparing for a potential loss of power.
So why is it quite so bad? Well, it's down to a number of factors combining. First off, we've got some very mild air in charge across the western half of the US, and that's meeting cold air that we've got in the east. So the mix of cold and mild means we've got quite a strong jet stream in the region. Now that jet stream is really the driving force that's creating this area of low pressure, but quite a wide area. But it's not just the snow. You can see the proximity of the isobars, a very windy period of weather.
Cars buried. 3 to 4 inches of snow falling here every hour. Tonight, the blizzard of 2015 crushing the East Coast. Massachusetts pummeled with over 30 inches of snow. In Hudson, even too much for the plows to handle. In Connecticut, 30-plus inches of snow in spots, burying cars.
This is the magnetic field in the dark region, the umbra of a solar sunspot, and it's systematically going down. Now, these authors observed this in 2005, and this is definitely a failure of the peer review system because their paper is rejected as being impossible. In fact, it's continued, and it's now been published here in 2009. And if you extrapolate this, the prediction is that the sunspots could even disappear. There could be no contrast between the sunspots and the photosphere by 2015, which is essentially what happened during the Maunder de Minimum, that period of very cold climate in the Little Ice Age.
Parts of Scotland last night with snow, including across the central belt. These snow showers are very unpredictable. You can be standing somewhere. Plus, the winds are coming from Iceland and Greenland. It is bitterly cold.
Yeah, I'm in Hannahstown and flurries of snow are coming down yet again. It's pretty much the same picture as it is in Scotland.
The driver responsible for the storm is the jet stream. The contrast of very mild air meeting very cold air drives a strong jet stream and created this snowstorm in the States to rapidly deepen and intensify. But we're on the other side of the same jet stream. That means our air is coming from Greenland and Iceland. Cold Arctic air, frequent snow showers, together with very strong winds. It'll feel bitterly cold.
Watch out where the Huskies go, don't you eat that yellow snow. Watch out where the Huskies go, don't you eat that yellow snow.
Research more than 50 years ago by Serbian astrophysicist Milankovic suggests that ice ages run in predictable cycles and that the Earth could soon go back into one. How soon? In science terms, it can be thousands of years. But what will happen in the next decades is still up in the air. Part of the science community believes that global warming is a man-made threat. But Dennis Avery of the Hudson Institute joins those predicting the next 20 to 30 years will actually bring cooler temperatures.
The Earth's temperatures have dropped an average of 0.6 degrees Celsius in the last 2 years. The Pacific Ocean is telling us, as it has told us 10 times in the past 400 years, you're going to get cooler.
Avery points to a lack of sunspots as a predictor for lower temperatures, saying the effects of greenhouse gas warming have a small impact on climate change.
So let me start, if I may. Joseph DeLeo, your reaction to those numbers, do you quibble with what they represent?
Yes, I do. In fact, if you look at the satellite data, which is the most reliable data, the best coverage of the globe, 2008 was the 14th coldest in 30 years. That doesn't jive with the 10th warmest in 159 years in the Hadley data set, or in 113 or 14 years in the NOAA data set. Those global data sets are contaminated by the fact that two-thirds of the globe's stations dropped out in 1990, most of them rural, and they performed no urban adjustment. And Lou, you know, your people in your studio know that if they live in the suburbs of New York City, it's a lot colder in rural areas than it is in the city. So now we have more urban effect in those numbers reflecting that show up in that enhanced or exaggerated warming, right, in the global data sets.
Jim, what's your reaction to those numbers and your interpretation?
Well, Lou, I'm in the camp with Joe and Fred Singer and Dennis Avery, and I think more importantly it is to look at the sun's output. And in recent years, we've seen very, very low sunspot activity, and we're definitely, in my mind, not only in a cooling period, we're going to be staying in it for a couple decades.
A heavy snow in Moscow has paralyzed the capital city's traffic and delayed over 150 flights. A big snow began yesterday morning, which turned into a snowstorm later.
Oops, this wasn't supposed to happen. A ship sent to the Antarctic to look for signs of global warming got stuck in frozen ice from fearsome cold. Then the rescue ship got stuck in the ice too. It's kind of like the climate change movement itself, stuck in denial over the fact that the climate is not getting warmer and seems to be getting much colder. The climate is changing, but it's not changing the way the climate change crowd told us it would change. Nature has made a mockery of global warming. So who are the real climate deniers? The ice is not only growing in the South Pole, but in the North Pole. And the coldest Arctic temperatures in decades have descended upon North America.
The sun has been very unusual for almost 15 years now.
Senior scientist Jens Petersen at Denmark's Technical University says the sun recently reached solar maximum, and there should be a lot of sunspot activity. But there isn't.
There would normally have been maybe twice or three times as many sunspots as we have seen this year. We have to go back more than 100 years to find a similar solar maximum, which has been so weak as the one we are in right now.
The last time the sun was this quiet, from the 1600s to the 1800s, North America and Europe suffered through a weather event known as Little Ice Age, when the Thames River in London regularly froze solid and colonial America saw terrible winters. Crops failed and people starved. Petersen says climate scientists know the Earth stopped warming 15 years ago. But the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, of which Petersen is a member, suppressed a recent finding by its own scientists that the UN's climate model has been proven wrong.
And then they change also part of what the scientists have written. And in particular, one of the issues has been why global warming has stopped during the last 15 years. And the scientists were very frank about that, that this is a problem, that climate models do not match with the climate we observe.
Politicians removed that important piece of good news from the final draft. It's as if the imminent danger from climate change can't be wrong, because it's now too important. It's become a political movement, a cash cow for climate scientists and environmental groups, and some say a way for world leaders to control economics and people.
This is absolutely a political agenda.
Dan Gaynor of the Media Research Center.
When you look at what the government will be able to do with climate change, it gives them entree into literally every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, I call it climatism.
Steve Gorham is the author of The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism.
It has become a path for global change across the world for adopting green economies and electric cars and putting wind turbines everywhere and changing light bulbs.
And it doesn't matter how badly the climate change prophets of doom get it wrong. Al Gore said all the ice in the Arctic would be melted by now. It's growing. Others predicted a shrinking food supply and flooded coastlines. Hurricane Sandy and Typhoon Haiyan are said to be because of climate change. But that ignores the fact that the worst tropical cyclones in modern times occurred in the 1960s. The climate change agenda is going forward anyway. The world is already spending at least $250 billion a year on it.
The theory of man-made global warming. Is it right or is it wrong? Today, we have enough data to answer the question pretty much for sure. Hello, my name is Dr. David Evans. I used to work for the Australian Greenhouse Office, now the Department of Climate Change, as their main modeller of carbon in Australia's biosphere from 1999 through 2005. I have 6 university degrees, including a PhD from Stanford University in electrical engineering. Electrical engineering is the area of human knowledge that knows most about feedbacks and about complex systems, which are very relevant, as we'll soon see. Let's define the issue. First of all, it has warmed over the last century. Secondly, CO2, carbon dioxide, is a greenhouse gas. Greenhouse gases act as a blanket around the world, keeping it warm. The more CO2 we emit, the thicker the blanket, the more warming there is. Yes, our carbon dioxide is causing global warming. But this is a bit like a whodunit. There's a murder scene, you were at the scene, but does that make you guilty? How do we know it wasn't someone else? For the CO2, how do we know it was CO2 that caused the warming in the last century and not something else? You really can't get away from it. This is a question, a quantitative question about how much. The key question is how much warming does the rising CO2 level cause? If it's only an insignificant amount, then something else is mainly responsible. But if rising CO2 causes about the amount of warming we saw, then we know that's the main culprit. Scientists use climate models to estimate how much. Now, the theory of man-made global warming is embodied in those climate models in two ways. First of all, in the climate models, CO2 is the only major source of warming. And secondly, the climate models omit nearly all the natural forces. We've checked all the main predictions against our best and latest data from impeccable sources. The climate models got them all wrong. So, we can conclude from that the climate models are doing a poor or random job at predicting the climate, from which we can conclude that the recent warming is not due to CO2. Remember, if CO2 was the main force in the temperature, the climate models would be doing a good job of prediction. You want to download the data and check for yourself or read more about this? Please go to my website, sciencespeak.com. And prominent on there is a paper called Climate Coup, the Science. It's written for lay people. You don't have to be a scientist to understand it. It's pretty simple, and it shows you how you can download the data yourself and check. Thank you.
There is nothing wrong with the planet. Nothing wrong with the planet. The planet is fine. The people are f***ed. Difference. Difference. The planet is fine. Compared to the people, the planet is doing great. Been here 4.5 billion years. Do you ever think about the arithmetic? Planet has been here 4.5 billion years. We've been here, what, 100,000? Maybe 200,000. And we've only been engaged in heavy industry for a little over 200 years. 200 years versus 4.5 billion. And we have the conceit to think that somehow we're a threat? That somehow we're going to put in jeopardy this beautiful little blue-green ball that's just a-floating around the sun? The planet has been through a lot worse than us. Been through all kinds of things worse than us. Been through earthquakes, volcanoes, plate tectonics, continental drift, solar flares, sunspots, magnetic storms, the magnetic reversal of the poles, hundreds of thousands of years of bombardment by comets and asteroids and meteors, worldwide floods, tidal waves, worldwide fires, erosion, cosmic rays, recurring ice ages. The planet isn't going anywhere. We are. We're going away. Pack your shit, folks. We're going away. Planet will be here, we'll be long gone. Just another failed mutation. Just another closed-end biological mistake. An evolutionary cul-de-sac.
The planet will shake us off like a bad case of fleas. A surface nuisance.
Thank you for listening to Kaput Radio. As I said in the introduction, I don't just believe something because mainstream media makes it out to be the wisdom of the moment. And as you could hear, there is not really a consensus on the topic of climate change. I hope you could understand the reason why I made this program. It will be interesting how opinion and claims will continue or change as time goes by. Please let me know what you think. I have to thank Graham for his valuable contribution. The sources of the edited clips can be viewed on the program page for this show at radioforall.net, that is radiofigure4all.net, and I'd love to hear your feedback by using the contact producer button. I'm Martin, and you can catch me again with another Kaput Radio program next time.